Blog Talk Radio.
We shared a thought, a moment in time, an idea without even a spoken word. You and I locked eyes, and like stars, our worlds were aligned as you blocked out the sun in the presence of your ecliptic beauty. All else crumbled and faded in the shadows of your smile. Like dusts in the winds of my past, the world ceased to exist. You became my shining sun, and I the moon you rested your head upon. We navigated galaxies, joyfully journeying space and time, freely floating as synchronized energy spending eons, blissfully stargazing the endless possibilities of future memories. Blinded by the radiant shine from love we projected, we frolicked in the sea of life on a companionship we built with smiles and frowns crafted to stand the test of our short-lived eternity of time. Time that would eventually pass us by like strangers. Our life together, birthed, melted away in an instant blink of an eye. A wish surrendered and dismissed. Flash of a shooting star. No hellos, no goodbyes, no memories to remind, only a thought, an idea, a moment in time, time of unknown possibility. Two random grains of microscopic dust particles bumped into each other as eyes connected, only to drift apart with the wind. As life went by.
Lover, let me adore you. I want to declare my love for you to the universe. Let me call your name to the sun and stars. Let me scream my devotion to the ocean's depths, to the earth's molten core. Why should any corner of the cosmos be denied your radiance? Let the galaxies themselves crave your divine embrace as I do. United, we were intoxicated on verse. I want to caress you like the wild seas wave on the sandy shore. Endlessly, endlessly, pulling back some small grain of you to myself with each retreat until our atoms dance intertwined, the electric nuclear tango of fusion. Let me be your satellite, your moon, circling slowly around the edge of your magnificence, you always in my gaze and I caught in the gravitational pull of tantric longing, wanting, wanting. Dizzy with desire for your presence, consume me as the candle's flame in the air as it lights absorbs the darkness till our essences are one. Devoted, admiration, I need no altar to kneel upon because you are my mantra and my reason. No question where my devotion resides. It's here within the monochromatic moments, the starving artistic mouth whispers your name. Tears of joy rain upon fragrant flower petals, and vespers within the evening breeze that douse the flames of two hearts at war. Because, my darling, you are my Mecca, and I, your pilgrim.
No more poetry. Today I laid my pen down because no thoughts hit my mind. There was no way that I could find the quill to grip and begin to write these ambivalent thoughts. Now ain't that a trip? The concept faded from memory that there was something that I wanted to say, something that I had to get off my chest, but I couldn't. But easy does it. These words don't formulate right away. They are corroded by the idea that no matter what I write about won't be remembered, won't be thought of past today. In other words, these words don't mean shit. They're pretty hollow. because we have become accustomed to loving being mediocre, castrating our greatness for flip chips, dope whips, pretty chicks, and false bravado disguised to look like shiny new promises. Yet we still sell each other out like Africans trying to remain free while they enslave their enemies to supremacists on their way to the new land. So no, today there will be no more poetry. There can't be any poetry until we begin to break the mental chains that are still trapped on bottom of sunken ships, wrapped around the souls of our fathers that just yearn to be free. The souls that never made it to birth, that were supposed to inherit the earth, until we take responsibility for our savagery and stop recapitulating negative imagery and stop to hold each other accountable for the shit that we do as we pretend that we don't even see it. When we stop dehumanizing our women with misogynistic verses, raise our boys to be men to our families, show our daughters the true meaning of love thyself so that she don't meet men that reinforce the need to never date black men again and leave us for other women, and in some cases, men of other races, just to be loved the way that she deserves. When we define ourselves on our own terms and become the powerful sentients we know we are, when we go back to showing each other some love and respect to one another and not just for a few minutes because you heard this shit. When we can get past the pain and strife because it shouldn't take another brother's death for any of you to appreciate life. And we can get out of each other's own damn way. Then there could be some poetry again. At least I hope so. At least I hope so.
This is not an erotic piece. Rather, it is one about falling into a no landing zone, about how they keep on falling. See, this is a poem serving as truth serum, reminiscing of an event, the encounter and experience as a result of the efforts of his endeavor that took place all within a single embrace. That shook dried ink from each page as words became wet by their stage presence. As they looked upon each other as more than entertainment, he saw energy that needed containment. So he booked her schedule with his time, his mind, his body, and his brilliance. But see, not his spirit. But A, it's okay because she's the most important. She'd be number one if home wasn't in front of box office. He gives her all the benefits of connection, love and affection, sensual touches and caresses. He longs to pull her hair, so she lets him. He admires her curves, her size, her thighs, singing, her body's on fleek. His scores are record highs and down lows via FaceTime, winning taste tests. Hunger Games, as she nourishes him, he places wings upon her to soar. He is strength upon cotton sheets and backdrops of four pillows. And each time he tastes her, lifts her, or gifts her to himself, she rubs his chest, trying to, but she can't deny the connection like cotton to felt. No necklace or embellishment. In nude, they each know the other is cut from a different cloth. No longer under wraps, he's packing heat as her softness is the fabric wrapping his heart. And with each breath, he knows a poet is about to start authoring him into a new piece, filling his heartbeat, gazing into his eyes as her hair drapes over him. Chemistry lab and class between her thighs, temps so hot they can no longer rise as she's rubbing his head and kissing his skin. And then she pins a trait of him onto a mental canvas tanned with lime green ink as he penetrates her poetry. No desire to just screw with him. She wants to tighten him up like Tennessee sits tightly between eight states, when in reality the only matter lies in the bluegrass, the physical substance, two bodies subdued by sweet morning dew, the performance a culmination of ambition and knowledge. The significance more than energy, grabbing his head, brain power, sweat dripping, a direct result of synergy, proven by titleless positions and authoritative acts that they do to each other as support mechanisms for one another. Super sexy the scene as he sings to her, "Don't leave me alone."
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that lineup was Frequency with A Moment in Time. Oh, boy. I need to go back and look at my notes. I should have had Taken. Frequency, A Moment in Time. I know the last person just went was Gwen C. With
look, when your co-hosts don't know the answer of who we just played, that's
funny. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I got to let y'all in on a little secret right quick. We have an extra special co-host with us here tonight that goes by the name of, drumroll, Gwen C. is in the house, everybody. Gwen C., how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, Jay. I love the fact that I've already failed two damn tests in 5 minutes.
Yay! You're going 400.
That's how you pop up, okay? That's how you pop up.
Hey, that flyer that you shot out there, man, that was cool, and you popped that up in just, what, a few minutes?
Yeah, I just took some stuff, you know. But then I'm over here pressing buttons, and then you – yeah, I don't know who we played either. So, like, I fell in all the tests. You can fire me.
I got to fire myself because I'm supposed to be knowing that. I'm going over here stabbing the buttons and everything. Great, great.
But, Jay, how are you, though?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, you know what? Me and Poetry been having a funny type of relationship with each other, Gwen. I've been laying off of the poetry, and I've been laying kind of low for like the past 2 to 3 months. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I'm hoping whatever it is, it's gonna lead to better, bigger, and better outcomes.
Yeah, because you know I'm all effed up behind these poems, so I don't understand. I'm very empathetic, but I don't think I understand. We have to dig deeper.
We're going to have to dig deeper. I'm imagining through the course of the night that's going to present itself. What have you been up to? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just working and missing poems. Like, I haven't poemed, okay? Oh, my God, Jay. I had a, what's it called? An epiphany. Oh, imagine. I had an epiphany
radio.
A couple days ago.
Oh.
That I haven't touched a mic except one time this year, okay? Like a physical microphone. I've been on one. And it was at work.
You know we're 4 months into this year, don't you?
We were?
We're 4 months into this year. You do know that, don't you?
I know. And I don't remember touching any mics other than once at work. And I did poetry last week in Texas, but I didn't have no mic in my hand when I did them poems.
What you mean you were just doing it without a microphone?
It was a workshop, and then we just spit pieces. I did 3 pieces. But, yeah, like no mic, and I don't think I've touched a mic this year, shamefully, regretfully.
Are you
all
on strike?
Maybe I was on strike with
you,
and I just didn't know it. Maybe we was on strike together.
I guess we were. Hey, but you know what? I think I got different motivation for my strike than you got for your strike. But I'm used to hearing you like bouncing and moving like all last summer. You on fire, weren't you?
Something like it. I don't know what's going on. I think it's a new job. Maybe we'll just blame it on the job.
We're going to lay it on new job.
Yeah,
we're
going to
lay it
job.
On new job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got me out here in the country.
Work.
Ain't no poetry out here in Somerset, Kentucky, so I'm going to start poetry out here in Somerset, Kentucky. I've already been reaching out to some places because they need poetry in this city.
Do you have poets out in your area?
I don't know, but I'm going to find some. If not, they can drive from Lexington.
I've heard that. I believe you got some poets around you, though.
There's always poets, and if not, you can make some poets.
You know what? I like how your mind works, because I was thinking that whole thing. I was trying to go ahead and work that angle, but you're more like a straightforward type person. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. You know it.
Did you get a chance to check out the eclipse?
Did I? I mean, I might have glanced for like 1 second because I didn't have no glasses except for my real glasses. But
yeah,
other
y'all,
than, no,
y'all had totality.
Kind of worked and did normal. Mm-hmm. My son enjoyed it. He did. He had his glasses, so he enjoyed it.
Is he into science-y type of things?
Well, you know, he has his moments. I will say yes, because he just likes to retain knowledge, the most random things.
Right. That sounds like me when I was coming up. You know, people would be like, how do you know this stuff? And I'd be like, shoot, thinking of myself National Geographic.
You need to write a poem about that. I think that should be your next piece.
I need
anything,
some type of
whatever
motivation.
Whatever you want, any direction.
You know, I haven't done a good nature poem in a minute. You know, most of my poems would have some elements of nature in it. I haven't done a good one in
mm-hmm.
a while, though. And
well,
we're getting ready to go ahead and get ready for the release of the next poetic love and heartbreak poetic mixtape. So I've been trying to prime people up for that. Mm-hmm. And how.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, I already got a few people that are lined up for it, but I think I might be missing like 15 minutes. So I still got to go ahead and get some more poets in here to go ahead and make that complete. I haven't laid it all out yet to see how many minutes that it actually is, but I definitely want to go for an hour. And that only ends up being anywhere from 15 to 20 poets.
That sounds nice. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're going to put a little bit more into the production of the videos and all the rest of that stuff, try to make it enjoyable as they're listening to your poetry and everybody else's poetry, Gwen C. Yeah, me and Jeannie didn't make the last cut, believe it or not.
That's insane. I'm going to fight you.
Can
I fight you?
Yes, you can.
Y'all in trouble. That don't even make sense.
Hey, you know what? It's actually a method to the madness, too, because, you know, a lot of people sent in what's-the-names, and I was easily deflect by me saying, like, I didn't make it either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, you know. That's funny.
Say it. It's just right on the tip of your lips. I already know what you're about to say.
No, I'm just saying, like, no, like, I could see myself saying to someone, well, you know, I wasn't on there either, so it's all good, and we're going to do it again in the future.
Right.
Oh, it's so funny.
It seems like the more that we do it, the more that we learn about getting more efficient with the whole process of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting more efficient with the whole process of it. That's pretty cool. Been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, she's been keeping me on my toes.
Oh, I already know.
You already know. She's been keeping me on my toes. All right. Do you want to do a whole speed round?
Sure. Do we have a topic or are we random over here?
We are randomized.
Okay. I'm sure I can figure out something.
Shit, let me see if I can figure out something since I didn't put such a bold proclamation out there. Oh, my God.
Bold, Jay, not bold.
It's been bold and some more things, let me tell you. I don't even know. All right. I think I have a piece here. Have you heard of TLW?
Maybe.
All right, all right. Well, that'll change that then.
I don't know. We're about to find out. Ooh, do I get to say the mic is yours?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Are you ready, Jay?
No. I am trying to figure it, though. I am trying to see. Okay, I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm going to go ahead and do this one here.
You sure, though, right?
I am very sure this time. Okay. The first time was just this.
It's your girl, Gwen. See, and I'm so excited to give Just Jay. The mic is yours.
Appreciate you, partner. There's a sound in the rhythm of silence. In the absence of vibration, there's an unfathomable depth. And it has its own resonance in the vast cavernous, the tranquility, where quietness clangs hollow, in chambers of blackness, where even touch can be numb and an ear muted, as this soul sighs, feeling disembodied, as my mind searches for sound in the vacuum of thought, vibrating. Vibrations that reach out in every direction, never to return to me again as I search for them. As I strain my eyes in this pitch to see muted strobes explode in my eyes' sight. But these are just illusions, created by my mind's eye, causing my physical eyes to see sound in the dead of darkness. And on command, I command my diaphragm to crush down and deflate, as my lungs take in air like a mighty well that prepare for its descent into the deep. And in a harmonious ballet of sinew and muscle, I squeeze with all my strength, fiber, and might. And I compress and jettison this breath out of my chest through the hallowed halls of my esophagus, through the bottleneck of my larynx, as I stretch my jaws wide to roar, only to produce nothingness. As my lungs ring out and sputter the last bits of hissing wind, and I feel faint from exertion. As my last-ditch efforts leave me breathless, depleted, and defeated. So now I must accept my silence in silence, and these poetic passages of stark darkness and solitude. And from this void of nullity, I see the lily. As I remember the lily swaying gently in the field, looking oh so lovely. Yes, the lily. Her inner beauty sings soliloquies that unplug my ears, and my tears unbind my eyes, and my heart wail the night-shattering wail as lava surges through my marrow, and I cry that I am alive. Boom.
Wow, Jay. That is so dope. Did you just say lava through marrow?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All your poems are, like, so, first of all, let me say I wrote down tranquility because I already knew, even though you say that word so early, the whole poem was going to be like that. Like, it was so obvious. And I think I have heard that. And then you said,
yeah.
What did you say, touch can be numb?
Yeah, you know, and in these different places, in different head spaces where, you know, the touch don't even, we don't even really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be even different mindsets that have been going on for a long time.
Yeah. And then when you said roar, I was like, you kind of are roaring, even though you do it in such a peaceful way. And then I was like, but then you even said, what did you say after that? And produce nothingness. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so fire. I love that.
Yeah, there was this big, huge build-up, and it got to the mouth, but nothing came out. Everything was working right up until it got to the mouth. The words wouldn't come out. So I had to accept my silence and silence.
wonderful piece.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, now, Gwen, there's enough of that over there, that phone and all the rest of that type of stuff. What we got coming out of Kentucky tonight?
All right. I'm going to do this old shit.
Let me go ahead and hold you the mic and step back. With that being said, my co-host, Gwen C., the mic is yours.
Thank you. Not to place fault on my best friend, but he's my enemy, my worst enemy. He tells me I'm sick. I think he means sick and tired, always on edge. He's remote laying around in perfect shell, but with dead batteries. Good thing I don't need him to change anything for me. He's the pressure inside refusing to be written into poem, inducing my second guessing, making me question my sanity through sharp, redundant lines that cut me from within. By definition, he's the king I helped build as part of my queendom so he could dumb me down. I'm the one collapsing while he stands like books on shelves I have great interest in but have never been able to read. Stressing me, either escalating or halting my vocabulary, he exceeds my comprehension. He glosses things over. I cannot see without him, but with him things are so unclear. In glossary, he is friction. We never make it to rhyme. We halt at harmony. I have a right to reach harmony, inherently, like peace should be made available to all, not just privileged. I've been taught to live with deeply painful heartache. I wish my smartness would have bloomed into intelligence. No, I wish my intelligence would have ruptured into self-love so that I'd know going through the process of heartbreak would have been the easier route, the better route, the appropriate route. I believe the magnitude of my suffrage is a result of my ignoring red flags, touching what was hot, not reading the signs, and not following God's guidance. Evacuate. In aftershock, I am not okay. Endless explosions of prayer and tears allow my survival, barely. My individuality is a beautiful thing, but comparisons are not. I own my stress. Sorrow fills my plate. I try to deduct my mistakes, but leave them in stock where they compound because that is what interests us. I cry. I write. I tremor. I spit fluently pain, dread, torment to the extent with venom. I win slams but can't win in real life volcanic. Rather, I get slammed as he is earthquake. Ground hears his whisper then rocks us into masterpiece. I feel cradled but damaged, decaying, decomposing, disengaged. I am drenching this page as I do all. Some marvel at my progress of daily death and reincarnation. But from these battles, I vengeance emerge like Black Widow from dust into transformation. He loves the chemistry that we display, but I didn't come to be seen. I came to eat.
Oh, if you don't stop. I guess you're making up for lost time for all them slams, Jamie.
That's funny. Funny, Jay.
Whoa. Was I hearing this right? Did you give him a big build up in the beginning? And then all of a sudden it came down to like this being this dude. And he talk to me about this poem here. I got some notes written out here, but I need you to help me make sense of it with your piece.
This poem is about my feelings, my emotions. This poem is about some things. This poem is therapy. That's all I can give you. No, I'm kidding. I'm just playing. You know, the piece is about life and stuff. And then, you know, how we got to be, I don't want to say bad bitches, but we got to be able to bounce back. And, you know, we might have to do some things. Yeah.
You talked about your support systems in here and everything. You talked about how prayer and God and tears, and you still barely made it out.
Mm.
Now, you start talking like that, that's making it by the skin of your teeth. Winning slams, but couldn't basically win him. Oh, when you talked about drenching the page, some of these visuals that you had in here were going nuts. And the one about drenching the page, at first you had us, when you had me seeing sweat, and then you had me seeing tears. It was really nice. Daily death and reincarnation. Oh, my goodness. That is those are depths right there. when your day is starting to look like that, like each night when you go to sleep for the rest of the night, you basically die, but then you have to come back and relive the same thing Groundhog Day. This is dope.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
How many slams has this piece won?
Oh, this, I've never slammed with this.
Oh, right.
I've never slammed with this. I might have done this as a sacrifice poet or something. Mm-hmm.
This is nice.
But thanks for
asking. So this is your submission for the next mixtape? Is that what you debuting for everybody? Is that what you're doing?
I mean, you know, if you want to put your girl on some mixtapes, go right ahead. You know how I am.
As far as what, talk to us.
You know how I am, Jay. I'm shy,
and
like
you're a
we,
slam
you know,
poet.
We a team.
I don't understand that.
But I'm not a slam poet.
Ah, see, that's
we've
the problem.
Been through that on my interview. I know we went through that on my interview with you and with Gina Storm. I know we did. I only slammed out of necessity.
Right.
But
right,
I am not a
right.
slam poet.
That okay. sounds like Hannibal Lecter. I was hungry, so I ate.
That was so poetic. That was the best line of the night.
Cannibal.
Oh, that was the best line of the night. Jay, you get the trophy for that.
All right. We have a person with their hand up. We about to go ahead and slide them on up in here and see what's crack-a-lacking and popping into action.
Wonderful.
One more time. How about you?
Did you just unmute me?
Yeah, you got your hand up.
Okay. I had the phone kind of far away from me. I'm like, is it me? You unmute me? Okay. What's up, Gwen C? Hey, Jack.
Hey, lady.
What's
she
going
said, hey,
on,
Jay.
I know. I'm such an episode around it.
Look, Jay for the win, though. Jay for the win. Jay came through, okay? Because I'm like, do a pop-up. And you know Jay came through, so.
And then since I got put on the spot, I said, I'm going to put you back on the spot, too. Ride shotgun, it happened.
And you know, my fingers typed yes as my brain said no.
I was wondering if that was happening. I wanted to see if she agreed.
I still don't know why I agreed.
Oh, my God. I want to ask you something, Gwen. Why do you say you're not a slam poet when that's clearly what you give us? Your flow is crazy, okay? And it's a particular kind of flow that a slam poet has to have in order to be considered a slam poet. So why do you not consider yourself one?
Because, like, the poets in slam are so fucking brilliant.
Go ahead,
oh, sorry. They're so brilliant.
I'm putting you in the corner.
No, for real. Seriously, like, for real. The poems are, like, mind-blowing most of the time. And then the delivery is nothing. Yeah, I know. Y'all heard me say it so many times. I hate my delivery. I hate the fact that I go fast. I hate the fact that once I memorize a poem, to me, they all feel like they flow the same. I wish I could keep the pauses that I build so that my audience could actually absorb it and snap and enjoy and, have their moment. But I don't know how to do that because everything I do is fast and crazy. And that's why I say I'm not really a slam poet because I can't do that, and I say can't, and I know that's a word you're not supposed to use, but I've been trying for like 6 or 7 years, and I'm still unable, I won't say can't, but at this point I'm still unable to do the things that I know are part of slam and to keep them in the poem. I'll write it like that all day, but once I memorize it, I remove every pause, and it's just flow for my whole 3 minutes and 8 damn seconds till my time is almost up and I have to be quiet.
But this is the feel that you give us. You give us slam. This is what we get from you. This is how we, and you think you don't get applauded and snapped? Girl, you crazy. I'm about to put you in the corner because you just, you know what? You're talking nonsense to me.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you. Jay, let me ask you honestly. You don't get slam from her when she spits?
You know what? At first I got slammed for her, but when she started sending in her submissions with her love poems, and I kind of know what she's talking about as far as she has a certain way that she wants to go ahead and deliver her piece. And it could be the nerves of being out there, and she got to be in gladiatorial type of mode, and she probably go ahead, and it could be just to you, Gwen, that you might read it a little bit different. But if you go ahead and do this the way that you are describing it to us as far as the pauses to go ahead and bring those more juicier and tender pieces on out of there, man, I'm all with that. But you are killing it now. So I imagine once you get that into play, it's going to be lights out.
Thank you. Right, thank you both.
Are you speaking on her recent pieces?
As far as what? As far as slam or not slam?
Yeah.
She has submitted about three pieces that would not go into a slam category. And that's when I had new. I said, no, she can do this when she wants to not be in slam mode. It's just that we're all used to hearing her in slam mode.
Okay, so there you go. You were getting that from her. We were all getting that from her. And I noticed when you done, you have paced yourself in a certain rhythm, and that's fine and good, but so I came across you, I think, about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and I've been listening to you ever since. And just recently, I've noticed how you paced yourself and you slowed it just a little bit, you know, to give us a different part of you, and that's beautiful too. But those other years that I've been listening to you, your flow has been consistent with a slam poet. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. But if you want to call yourself a regular poet, it's fine. It's fine.
Yes, I'll be regular. Danielle, how are you? How are you, Danielle?
I am. I'm going to just say that. I am. I've been dealing with life, but I'm good. I'm okay.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, you've been battling over there. We've been watching you deal with these different ailments, and you've still been coming into the chat and keeping everybody encouraged. Even when you're not doing well, you're keeping everybody encouraged. I'm like, look at her, man. She just be doing stuff, man. Yeah, that's not you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Nice to be noticed. I got a love for y'all. You know, I care for people in general, so, and I don't like to be no Debbie Downer, man. I want to be up there, high vibration. You know, it's all good. I didn't even know it was a show tonight. I just went on, you know, and I seen on Facebook that it was a pop up. I'm like, what time is it? Is it after 10? It's a pop up. Let me call and see if this is real.
So, we didn't know either.
It was
for real. We didn't know it was a show.
Yeah.
I didn't know, you know, life be life sometimes, and it distracts you from your routine. But I'm glad I did call in because I got to hear you perform. And Jay, you're Lord. Jay, you already know I'm a fan. Okay, you give us that archaic language sometimes, and the way that you spit, it's a Shakespearean tone, you know. It's all good. It really is. It's all good.
I second that.
Appreciate
you. Mm-hmm.
What do you have for tonight, Mrs. La Perla Negra?
All right, so I actually, when was this? When was Mahogany Soul? Was it last night, night before last? That she performed Tuesday night. Okay, so I haven't really been keeping up on our shows and stuff. It's been more of a surprise because I've been dealing with my issues. But I said, let me see if I can come up with something real quick. And I just started writing because she had a co-host, and he was a little long-winded, and that actually gave me some time to jot something down. It's not finished, but it's a piece nonetheless, and it's called No Substitute.
Gwen, see, you gonna give her the mic?
Absolutely. Beautiful poet, the mic is yours.
Thank you. It is a fact that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But for me, it also rises and sets in your eyes. And there's a universal rule that is vital for balance. We must maintain beauty before us, behind us, below, above, and all around us. I have that with you because your love encompasses my everything. You've added to the happiness, confidence, and peace that already exists within me. Things I couldn't fathom was tangible outside of me. You've given me so much without asking for anything. Not just love absolute, loyalty, dedication, and truth, but friendship. You give me soliloquies from formed in my heart, from similes, the kind of friendship where it's easy to initiate the difficult conversations because you talk to me, the kind of friendship that no matter where we are, distant or right up under one another, you're open to me. Kind of friendship where there's never a moment of now's not the time, baby. The things you plan in the way you live your life while continually including me with the idea of hope and faith gives me a continuous experience with joy, happiness, confidence, and peace. I don't know how you did it, but you brought to me what I need. And with that, there's just no substitute for you.
Thank you.
That's so pretty.
Oh.
Is that the name of it? No Substitute for You?
No Substitute.
Oh, that's so pretty.
Thank you.
But I knew it was going to be beautiful when you said, sets. Would you say rises and sets in your eyes? Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's so pretty.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
My favorite part, yeah, though, was when you described maintaining the beauty 360 degrees, like up, down, and all around. I love that. That was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. That's how it's supposed to be in life. But, you know, we got folks that prefer chaos and, you know, misery. So sometimes it's hard to maintain that. But it is possible.
Mm.
I enjoyed this too, Danielle.
Thank you.
This piece right here, you're really going in with the love, man. The very first line, like she had mentioned about you, had talked about the sun and the direction that it goes, but then you had talked about how you see that in his eyes also. You said he's added to your inner peace. You actually put that in there twice as far as peace goes. How big is peace for you in a relationship?
Ooh, child, let me tell you. If you know anything about a person that is a narcissist, I'm talking about really diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder, you have no peace. There is no balance because you are always your heart, for one, is a battlefield. Between soul and ego with this person, because they are always in a mindset of tearing you apart, tearing you down. You can't be happy. If you find any bit of joy, there's something that they will find to bring you down. Like, I'm going to say this. I have said it several times. Okay. I like a bun, a classic bun. I don't care who is, what woman it's on and what you got on. You can have a trash bag on and a bun will bring class and beauty about from it. And plus, I think I'm kind of cute with it. And my husband knew that I looked good with a bun, and he would say things to me like, you know, it takes a lot of courage to wear your hair away from your face like that. And that made me feel like I was ugly, like I shouldn't have my hair up. I shouldn't be have my face uncovered. I should always wear my hair down. At that, it's a lot of mental abuse. And that mental abuse, those scars, they knock years off of your life and they last. I'm dealing with my health issues now because of being in a marriage for 22 years and dealing with that. The cardiologist actually explained to me that that type of stress doesn't just dissipate or go away because you ignore it or that person is not in your life anymore. It can last you for the rest of your life. So, you know.
And pop up in some of the weirdest places, too, at the weirdest times.
Yeah. So, yeah, peace is paramount. It's vital to me. It's so necessary. And this is why I speak to people the way that I speak to them, not just because that's just me. That's how my heart is. It's necessary for me to stay balanced and to look and see the beauty in everything around me, everything that everybody that I encounter. You know, I mean, don't get it twisted. I can be just as ugly if you bring that to me and it gets, you know, it crosses my boundaries. But for the most part, I'm a gentle soul. I'm a peaceful person. And that's what I want to bring to people. So peace is.
Are you a gentle soul overall, even when you got to go ahead and shave your teeth, is to go ahead and protect your space?
Yeah, because when I have to snap, I feel bad instantly, right away. I don't like telling people no if they need something. I don't like having to push aside a certain phone call that's coming through. But I have other things I got to do in my life, and sometimes that call or that necessity that the other person has doesn't take precedence. You know, I have there's things I have to prioritize that go over top of that, but it still makes me feel a certain kind of way.
I feel you on that. This piece right here also talked about some of the things that you were looking for. It mainly dwelled on the things that you were looking for. Loyalty, dedication, truth, and friendship. Friendship mm-hmm. was brought up in this poem several times, like a warm type of thing. No matter mm-hmm. where you are, you're open to me. Confidence mm-hmm. and peace. He brought mm-hmm. To you what you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My husband took all of that away from me. He broke me, literally. I didn't just bend for him. He broke me, and it made me, when I say he broke me, I got sick behind it. I was losing my eyesight. It's stress. I'm not going to get into all the medical conditions that came about from it, but it a person that is stressing you like that can turn you into something that you didn't even know existed. Okay, so, yeah, friendship is necessary. Because I know the kind of friend that I can be. And I just want it reciprocated. That's all. But unfortunately, I have a tendency to pour into people without them even sprinkling on me.
Yeah, and people have fallen into that real fast, quickly, really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm not unhappy.
What do you have
anymore.
Going on in the Epiphany universe?
Okay, so you can catch me every Wednesday night at 9, co-hosting with my sexy, sultry voice, Diva, Mrs. VIP, and Diva's Talk. And you can also catch me Monday nights with Sergio Atterbury, a.k.a. King Atterbury, in King and Queen's Quarters. And let's just bring what you got. Let us know what pushes your pen, what moves your pen.
Yeah, y'all go over there and check them out. Those are two live shows. It's a good place for you to go ahead and bring your pen in. You can trust your poems in there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Man, why is people calling me? I'm trying to do a radio show.
Oh, don't you
send us a pop-up and they didn't know. You're supposed to be available to society right now, Jay.
I guess so. I ain't down with all that just yet. I'm working on some things still. All right. Well, Danielle, we appreciate you for everything that you do here in Epiphany. And that poem was dope, too.
Yes, ma'am.
This is dope, too. Dope show. I'm here. I'm going to try and hang on as long as I can.
How's Gwen C doing so far?
How? You just asked me that?
Yeah.
She is the look. She's you are a what can I call you? A word warrior. You are up there. You part of the elite, yo. I look up to you. I'll be like, damn, I wish I could be like
what made me come over there?
I'm working on that
give
too.
You a hug. Stop it.
I'm so serious, man. You are one of the dopest poets I know. I'm like, she just goes in for the kill. And don't let no music be behind your words, your piece. You know,
oh,
shit. I need this in my playlist. For real.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Danielle, I love you. Thank you.
You know I love you, girl. You're welcome.
And the answer, look, when he said, how's she doing, the answer was, I was going to say, y'all going to fire me after this. Okay, I'm fired after this.
Uh-oh.
I was getting ready to say, get back to something. She Gwen seeing too much. And I wasn't in my Jay-Z. I was like, they can fire me after this. I'm done after this.
No, don't nobody get fired from here. They got to leave. All right, sis. We appreciate you for coming in. We might run a speed round if you're available for that, but we'll definitely be checking back in on you periodically.
All right. That's a fuck. I'll find something.
All right, sis. Talk to you in a minute. Mm-hmm. Much love.
One love, one mic.
All right. We're about to go into a track right quick and a quick station identification. Paul, I see you, bro. Do not hold it against your brother. But we got to get into this station identification here. Let's see what we're going to go ahead and do for that one there. Now let's try this one.
Take your socks off at Epiphany Radio.
We, us, to be of it. of black love is like a spell of enchantment from a glowing star in far southern skies. Black love is family, loving everything African about each other and ethnicity, allowing each other to be ourselves, sexually giving each other what we need and want, morally supporting each other's gifts and dreams, romantically showing the love we have through dating like it's a new relationship, and lastly, accepting each other's past as well as to come, unconditionally. That's how bad I want to be in black love. That's how bad I want to be in black love.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Danielle, a.k.a. La Pearl La Negra, with Black Love. Oh, shoot, that was dope, Gwen.
She killed that.
Yeah. She killed that. We're about to go ahead and get the next caller in here. How about you, 609?
Good evening.
Man, Paul, sir. How you holding up today?
Some days, sir, I can't complain. And I'm still breathing, so yeah, that's a big plus right there.
Oh, that sounds like the world's worst day. Let's go ahead and start with that one. If people start talking like that, the day was not easy. So I'm glad you got a chance to make it here, sir.
I had to shoot, man. Look, it's been a day. You know, there's some dramas going on, but that's okay. I just can't let them take me down no more. I have to recognize I'm still here. I'm breathing, so that means it's a chance to defeat some things and be victorious over some things and keep it moving.
Hey, I like the mindset. I like the mindset. I like the mindset.
It's either that or go crazy.
Hey, I like that mindset too, but I try not to go over there no more. Not as much as I'm getting older now.
No, you're not getting older.
Hey, we got Gwen C in the building, bro.
Gwen C, look, I'm a secret fan of hers. I've heard her on a few other platforms.
There ain't no secret no more, Jack.
Well, yeah, that's true. What does Danielle say? But she is a beast.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you're here, and, you know, if you're having a rough day, poetry is your therapy, so this is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you, I don't call in the two shows tonight. This is how I get through my stuff.
Oh, yes.
See, our Father is faithful to when we look to Him, He's faithful to take care of those things that are bugging us.
That's right.
He's bigger than all our problems, so, you know. I've learned the hard way because I'm hard-headed. But I had to learn the hard way that maybe I need to look to Him. I'll be all right.
Do you mind if I antagonize you a little bit, brother?
Absolutely not. You would do it anyway, so.
Exactly. I tell you what, I want you to go ahead and pull all that into that piece there, man. Everything I just heard you say right there, I want you to put it all into that piece, man, and don't leave nothing on the table.
And you know, ironically, that was all I got for you tonight.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. This piece is called I Am Too Close. I keep having these why me moments where it seems all of the world is against me. I would have never thought that I was so bad a person that my karma would rival medieval torture times three. Exhaustion resides in every seen and unseen part of me. so overwhelming I find it hard to breathe. So invasive, my exhausting exhausts future memory. I'm beginning to believe this is all life holds for me. Merely existing to experience the realm of what's next to be regurgitated and force-fed to me. What's next in this tsunami of defecation crashing and bashing, then receding, only to smash my existence again? Monsoon-worthy raindrops and hail of despair falling, resembling family, acquaintances, strangers, and friends. Exhaustion has found another gear, draining thought, desire, and hope. So exhausted, my heart's beating threatens to end. So exhausted, that message from brain to heart fails to send. Too exhausted to care. Too exhausted to even try. Too exhausted to cry. Ironically, despite and because of all of this, I am too exhausted to die. I am too close. As far as tests go, this most assuredly rivals an earthly PhD. This test was and is extremely pivotal to who and what truly defines me. I've never thusly teetered upon the precipice of the abyss of depression and despair, masked behind a facade of someone completely, entirely alien to me. Doubts, decisions, and probably deeds as well, join forces near successful in driving me into the frigid, life-devouring sea of despair. Surely, I was being tested and tempted and tainted by the Prince of the Air, he who has nothing greater than his eternal defeat to share. At the end of all he tempts me with, I have victory over all he throws my way. You see, I am too close to the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Son. I had victory before the temptations begun. Yet I suffered countless losses just for being dumb. Choices and outcomes that I cannot blame on Satan, society, or anyone. I allowed it to distract me from the power of faith and belief in Christ, the Holy Son. I am too close. I am a child of the Most High. I am too close to my breakthrough, my blessings and I am too close to my heavenly home. So to all the distractions and reactions and dissatisfactions, carnal attractions, threatening and partially succeeding in postponing my victory, I simply say goodbye. I am too close to eternal victory. And I ain't mad at you, Satan, that you gave me a try. Actually, I should thank you because you helped me to really realize that through all the pain and fears and whatever I experienced when I swerved just a little too close to you, it was needed for me to get that anti-venom to diffuse and protect from the venom of serpents such as you. Pits of hell. For me, that's all you can do. I am too close to the great I am, and he's a jealous God. I said, you and I are officially through. By the way, Satan, FYI, we're also too close to that eternity in the fiery lake destined for you. Boom.
That's what I'm talking about right there, Paul. If you got it on you, and you got to get it off you, get it off you.
Yeah, that had to go.
My favorite. Oh, my gosh. Was exhaustion
No, exhaustion exhausts future memories. Oh, my goodness.
That exhaustion scheme had me going too for you.
You beat down so bad, you know, you can't even contemplate what's next. It's just the place that we've been are not supposed to ever go. But when you let your guards down, Satan sneak in and get you with a two-piece and knock you out. So you can't hold nobody else responsible.
That was my other favorite. The choices and outcomes. You can't blame society or anybody else.
Right.
Accountability.
You walked it down too, man. You even got into the point where you was even like talking about some things of depression and how, you know, I don't know if you're talking about entities or people or what may have you, but they're trying to keep you there. You said, I keep having these why me moments. In the beginning, I believe this was all life was and had left for me. And then you start getting to the breaking, the crashing and the dashing. And it sounded like a man being broken into bits. And that's when you had went into the exhaustion scheme. You're talking about how you were so exhausted, the message from the brain to the heart, too exhausted to cry, too exhausted to die. This test was truly pivotal to what defines me, something completely near successful to keep you in despair, something in the air of victory, victory before the temptation had begun, carnal attractions. I say goodbye. I should thank you that through all the pain that was needed to get the anti-venom, I'm close to the great I am. Yeah, this was doing some things in here, brother.
I see. My daddy is a beast too. See, I cheat. I get help from my father for those things that I write. He sits me down and I'm obedient in most cases, you know. And I've been going through some things, but I've noticed that a lot of other people are in various degrees of pain right now, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally. There's just a lot of pain, a lot of hurt in this world today. And I think something my dad is needed to just let people know, yeah, we are all getting stomped. But the Bible told us about these things, were foretold about it. It's going to come to this time. So now that means we need to step up our game to prevent that. We need to put that full body armor on it and just go on out there and do what we got to do and whoop some butt instead of getting beat up. It's time to stand up and put on full draw, them grown Christian draws. Because we're in a war.
We definitely are. The whole entire world feels it too. Everybody keep on talking about these the last days. They don't really know what that means. They just think it's tough times. But things are the way they are. The prophecies make the people who actually believe feel like what they're doing is actually a validation. This is a very nice piece, Paul. I'm glad that you even had a little bit more bounce in your voice after the piece, man. You do everything out there, brother.
Hey, man. Yeah, I thank God for the opportunity and for the platform.
You've been killing it, man. I've been hearing people remarking about how you've been killing it consistently. You came in and delivered tonight, too, Paul.
Well, that's what I was supposed to do. I mean, judging from the platform, you have to bring something because there's already a whole lot of somethings laid down that you can't come in here half-stepping.
I'm going to need a love or heartbreak poem for you, Paul. Paul?
I say love. I think we need love from Paul.
We need a love piece from you, Paul.
Oh, I have some of that. I have some of that.
I want you to go in, too, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
we're going to need no MP3, sir.
Okay.
If you want to put music behind it, fine. But if not, do not worry about that. We just need a love piece from you, a real hard-hitting love piece, sir. Don't spare the sap.
That's a challenge for me. I think I could do that.
You gonna go nuts. I got a good feeling.
I'm gonna hold you to that. I have one. There's one in my studio that's got some music to it that for real put together for me. A piece called "This Place" that talks about the penal system and its atrocities. And I have one that I did, I recorded, it was to my mother. It's called Praying Hands, that I have to an instrumental version of Hero by Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. I was just playing around and I did it. I'm pretty good. I'm kind of proud of it. I haven't had the nerve to try it again since, but I'm going to.
I'll drop it in the email and the address. But for everybody out there who's listening, if you want to be a part of this next mixtape that's coming up, the last one was a smashing success. People have been getting recognized off of them. That's all I'm going to go ahead and say. But anyways, it's to Just J, J-U-S-J-A-E, Gina Show, G-E-N-A Show, @gmail.com. Send it to us, MP3 format, because that's the only format that we can upload into the studio here. So if you put it in MP3 format, that would help out quite a bit. Also, put your name next to the title, because every time we pull these off of an email, they go into a pile, and then we'd be like, where is what's the name's piece at? And we will not be able to find you because your name is not in the title. So be sure to put your name in the title as well. We're going to do it big this time. We're going to go a little bit further out on the animation in between each track. Come and be a part of history. We're pushing poetry through in a different type of way. They're going to have to hear us. Yeah, Paul. I'm going to put it in the email. In the chat.
I definitely got you on that, bro.
What do you have going on in the Epiphany Universe, sir?
Well, we have Sunday night poetic praise. Every Sunday, 8 p.m., Mr. Alonzo and myself, we host the Inspiration Factory, where we do poetry, praise, prayer. It's all profanity free, thank God. And it's just a place for us to go. Praise God. Start the week off good.
I thought you was about to drop five P's in there. But I'm going to go ahead and say three is spelled with a P this time, so you dropped your five P's. What did you say? Poetry, praise, and something else you said.
Prayer. I see poetry, praise, prayer, profanity free.
And
but
free
it's also
is
fellowship. It's also fellowship.
Sweet. That's
iron sharpens iron. I'm going to have to do all
that.
All
right, brother. We appreciate the format through here. Gwen C. has been taking it easy on me, and I appreciate that, Gwen C. Thank you. I can only take so much.
I'm
an old man.
Gwen, you have nothing to worry about. We get fired all the time. We just keep coming. It don't make
nothing. That's right. Just show back up.
He currently fired right now.
So it's all a good thing. So you can speak your mind without worrying about being fired. Plus,
that's right.
For real, the CEO for real, he's getting a little old, so we can both outrun him. So we ain't got to worry about him too much.
But don't be the first one to get fired either, Gwen C.
All right, y'all. It's been a blessing. I'm going to step on out of here and let the next person come up or see what else goes on with this platform. I'm hanging out, though.
We appreciate you coming through.
My love.
Oh, damn it. Sorry about that, Paul, if I might have cut you off a little bit there, brother. All right, we're going to go to 213. 213, how about you?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. Who do we have on the line? Oh, somebody already know you.
Nate. But, yeah, that's who got me to, gave me the info and told me to call in. I'm like, right now? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm up here
right
in
now.
The middle of doing this, doing that. And, I guess with Gwen C, you got to be always ready, man. So.
Always ready, man. Always ready.
Yeah. You're in a poet.
I think it's your country singer.
Yeah. Where are you at? Where you live at? Where you from?
Man, I'm currently in Arkansas, man. I've been in Arkansas for about 17 years. But before that,
okay.
I was in Detroit for the bulk of my life.
I love Detroit. Detroit loved me. I love going up there and performing and I've always been up there for slam poetry, so I've always done pretty well up there.
You know what, Detroit people are really welcoming, man. When Ron Artest had that brawl, he had to do community service here, and he really fell in love with the people here in Detroit, man. They're not standoffish or nothing. You know, they'll talk to you.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I remember the Malice at the Palace, but I didn't know he had to do. That's informative. I never even knew that.
Time out. How we blaming Meta World Peace? He ain't the only person at fault right now. I'm just playing. I'm just having it all run through my head right now as I heard y'all start talking about it.
Okay, yeah, he was the main reason.
Hey, man, he was playing spades up there with a lot of different folks and stuff like that. He was coming back even after he had got done with his community service.
He's good people, though. He's a good person, no matter how he was depicted. He's a smart guy. He's mellowed out. So he's good.
Yeah, man. So y'all done had slams together, I take it. Y'all done met up somewhere around there. But y'all, because the slam community is not like a very giant size community, is it?
Yeah. Slam is huge. Oh my goodness, yeah. Slam is in. I can imagine it's in every state, not in every city, but in every state at one capacity or another. For the most part.
Yeah.
Slam is really.
Look, Jay, Nate, just be coming to Louisville, winning 3 months in a row at our slam. Then he's going on the road, winning in other cities and, taking home money. And then I go to Ohio and try to come in his city and beat him like he comes to my city and beats me. And then I go to Ohio and I lose out the second round. And then what does Nate do? He goes to third or, third round and might get first place or second.
It is what it is. Even when you should win, you don't. Even if the people that like Gwen, see, she's so hard on herself. But like a lady was saying earlier, Gwen is an awesome poet. It's just crazy on how sometimes people get judged or lack thereof, and it'd be people that be advancing that. She clearly, and I'm not even just saying this because we're friends, but she clearly be better than, I don't know what it is, but, it is what it is. That don't mean
it's
that,
a lot of politics in slam, too, ain't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to hate care.
Because
man,
on any given night, the judges can be different and the score can be different.
Man, any given, it depends on the crowd, the energy, it depends on the judges, because you can be the crowd favorite and them judges still stiff you, what I'm saying? That happens to me a lot. I just be like,
the people's choice.
The whole crowd. Yeah, but it's like that's what part of the judging is supposed to go off of, how the
crowd
reacts to you and everything. Yeah, I mean, because the majority of other people's stuff be always some sad stuff or it be some political, or just something that's just, trauma based. So it's just like it'd be a big trauma contest between, majority of everybody.
I heard the trauma wins, what's the name, though? I heard the trauma wins slams.
Yeah, for the most part, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Don't, if there's a panel of mostly women judges and you get up there talking about you've got abused or how hard
yes,
it is being a woman, man, please. For the most part, you go, if you get up there crying, boy, you're winning.
But look,
second or third place, I'm trying to tell you.
Yes,
then,
sir, man.
No,
hey,
look,
man, hey, man, I love the transparency on you, brother.
I was going to say, then Nate comes on there and changes the whole vibe, okay? He changes the whole room with one damn poem. Makes us just feel like we're in another space.
guilty.
Well, I mean, but that was a point of me because I, you know, mm-hmm. I noticed that. See, I'm not a drama type. Like, I can do a sad poem, but I can't get up there crying. You know, I can't get up there crying. Mm-hmm. I can't get up there. I'm not a really great actor. And you got people up there that are really great at that. And, I'm not taking nothing away from, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like after you got 10, 12, 14, 16 pulls up there and everybody's stuff is trauma-based, it's just like, man, you know, it's almost like.
Yeah, something to stand out from that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like, so, you know, and I just use my personal, you know, I'm all over the place. I can do fast. I got political stuff. And then, you know, but I've noticed how, the comedy stuff, it works in most rooms. Not all, because I've the same rooms that I got 30 in or a high 29 has also been the times where I got, a couple times, I got the lowest score in the room. I mean, like wow. I mean, like,
with
really?
With the same poem, so, hitting it with the same energy.
Yeah, same poem, yeah, and everything. I mean, but, you know, here's the thing. I still had the crowd going, but the judges thought otherwise.
And here we go.
So, you know, yeah. So, I mean, it's just like you win some, you lose some. You know, so you just got to go up there and do your best every trip. That's what I learned. No matter what, just go up there and do your best. And, you know.
And make the crowd feel good.
Yeah, right. We're doing something, so, you know.
I tell you what, man, I'm going to let your sister go ahead and give you the mic, man. It's been an honor meeting you, man. I'm Just Jay, bro. I do this, and I
Just
do Small House of Poetry.
You.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be catching up with you on the flip. Gwen,
okay,
if you wouldn't mind giving the guest the mic, and I'm going to go ahead and step out the way.
Wonderful. Y'all, welcome to the stage. Okay. The virtual stage. Brave Nate, the mic is yours.
Gwen C, I want you to pick every last poem I'm going to do. You said I got 10 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead. Pick. What's the first poem you would like for me to, you know, you know pretty much, you know, the poem.
Can you do Thief?
Okay, I sure will.
Thank
you. Sure will. This poem is titled, I'm a Thief. When I came, they never even seen me. I could be just anyone off the streets. I do my thing. I get to done through rain, snow, and sleet. All the things I've accumulated, wow, to you, but to me, it was just a small feat. I've been called by many names, but own up to none of them. Shit. I'm a thief. Man, I'm a crook. Look at what I took. Video games of all names. I do this without no shame. If it's missing, it's because I came. I came, I saw, I liked it, I decided I wanted it for myself, I stole. I got your credit card, my nigga, now your ass is back in the hole. And if I ever go to jail because of the snitch, man, I'm going to get the person that told. I won't admit shit. Who, me? Yeah, I'll play the role. Shit, I ain't even got up no more because to the highest bidder, it was sold. I steal PlayStation 3s and big screen TVs, old-ass DVDs and scratched-up CDs, but you can't even point me on the lineup, my nigga, because you didn't even see me. Every time I go to jail, I got a goofy-ass family member all on social media talking about free me. 70-inch widescreens and True Religion jeans, yeah, I know you bought them, but I've been to your house, which means now I got them. I'm stealing from the people at the top because I started from the bottom. Man, I'm a beast. I ain't never been caught. All those designer clothes in my closet, yeah, I stole that shit. Ain't none of that shit I bought. You come home with your shit gone as I'm pulling away with the things that you worked hard for. Next up, Salem Avenue, 3rd Street, and Ardmore. No wig, no makeup, yeah, I'm still a clown. I'm sort of like Thanos, I make shit disappear. Shit, I help shut them all down. Shit, I got more tricks up my sleeve than a down south Baptist pastor. Oh, shit, I think somebody pulling up in the driveway. Well, next time, my niggas, you got to work faster. Shit, ain't none of y'all ready. There's a good-ass reason why they call me Five Finger Freddy. I'm slick and I'm quick and I get over on a full fast. And if I think they were selling, shit, I'll steal the underwear right up off your ass. Now, I have a lot of things, but one of them ain't time. I have a habit, yep, I know, for stealing shit that ain't mine. I steal toys, too, from Power Rangers and Blues Clues. Pulling out money and paying for shit is just something that I ain't used to. I don't care what you buy. I don't care what it be costing. Nigga, I'm like a dentist, and I'm stealing whatever you call yourself flossing. Shit, if you own it, then I want it. I steal from whites, blacks, and the handicaps. I don't discriminate, baby. I'm a thief, and your ass better get some insurance. A barking-ass dog and a boss-ass alarm system is one hell of a deterrent. But shit, ain't even guaranteed. Shit, I get brave as hell once I done hit some weed. I'm always on some bullshit. That's the law, and I'ma break it. If you left it outside, that's like giving me permission to take it. Stealing ain't right, and I've been going to church lately, y'all, and I've been trying to shake it. Now, if you on a video game system, you bet not let me play with it. I'm a thief, my nigga. I steal shit and make sure I get away with it. I stay hustling. I stay grinding. I stay willing to deal in. Walking to the mall with $1,000 in my back pocket, and I'm still stealing. Shit, I move with discretion. One encounter with me would teach your ass a lesson. I love walking away with other people's blessings. Now, if you ever been over your out of your house, you better hide your shit. I steal Social Security cards, EBT cards, and your kids' birth certificates. Now, I've been all up in your house already, my nigga, so I already know what you're working with. So pay attention, because you can learn from me by getting burned by me. All that nice-ass shit in my living room, shit, none of that shit was earned by me. Shit, you can lose your shit quick if you move too slow. And the worst thing about me is I ain't no stranger. I'm some nigga that you already know.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
You can learn from me if you get burned by me.
Gwen, see, my next poem I want to do, this is what you ain't heard. No, no, nobody. Well, I did
hold,
it when I was in Toledo.
Hold on 1 second. 1 second. All right, we about to get a speed round going. Do you mind doing it in there?
What's a speed round?
We have 5 people that are currently on the mic that are ready to spit. Each person in possession, go ahead and go. When your mic opens up, she'll say you're unmuted, and then it'll be your turn to go ahead and spit.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All
we should
right,
have a
cool.
slam speed round one day. Look at you
oh,
over here innovating,
goodness.
Jay. You're putting ideas in my head.
What is slam? No. Maybe I might have a slam piece. What is slam? Is slam going off on somebody?
Whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Whatever you want it to be. We should have a slam speed round one day.
We should have one tonight.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, open these mics up. Let me see what's going on in here.
Cool.
Hey, everybody, y'all got slam pieces?
I don't. I'm not a slam poet. I ain't even going to try. I mess around, bite my tongue.
I tell you what, you can bless the room by going at the end then.
No, if you ain't got a slam piece, you just go first. You be our sacrifice, and you be the first person in the round, and then boom, we go.
Don't you scare Danielle like that. We're talking no words about sacrifices. Yeah, but you'll be the sacrifice, Danielle.
I go first, I go last, it don't matter.
Sweet. Divine
really
inspiration. Paul, Pastor Paul.
He's
gonna be kicking his stuff.
I'm muted. I was muted. I'm sorry. I have some angry pieces. I don't know if you would call that slam or not.
Anything is included in slam. It don't matter.
Exactly.
No, anything
get
goes.
That stuff
okay.
Out.
What is slam then?
Slam is whatever you know. It's just competition. You just get judged for open mic, and you don't get judged. In slam, you either got three judges or you got 5 judges. When it's 5 judges, the low score and the highest score get thrown out, and your 3 middle scores get added up. And you know that's how they do it.
You know, I didn't judge in slams and stuff like that, but I was just trying to figure out like what is the criteria of a slam because. Does it have to be making a point or what? You know, I'm trying to figure out what is a poem. You feel like, oh, that's a slam poem right there.
If they give it a theme, if they'd be like, okay, the theme has to be yada, 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 then that's different. But other than that, you go up there And whatever's on your heart, it's like, you know, get up there and speak your truth, and you know, and be at the mercy of them judges. You can't use no props. You can't use anything. You can't you can't use nothing. You know, all you can use is just that microphone. That's it. You can't use no hats, no nothing, no whatever on that stage. That's the only thing you can use.
Got you, man.
Yep.
All right. Well, Danielle, you'll be going first, and then from there the mics will just be opening, so just be prepared. We have one more person in the queue, 445. Would you care to be in this, sir? If not, answer by not raising your hand. All right. About to close up the mics, and I'll be with y'all in just a moment. As the mic open up, have your piece ready to go ahead and just spit.
Dear future king, though many desire to sit upon your throne, this spot is designed for your royalty alone. So I clear the path for only you to claim your seat, and rest assured I am your lady in waiting, anxious for the day that we'll meet, patient as ever to greet you in your royal chambers as thoughts of you bring fantasies and feelings of pleasantry through my locks. These locks were grown for your fingers to run through. You are my king. And it doesn't matter what road you choose to travel, inevitably we are destined to be. See, everyone is meant to be with somebody, and you are my match to my royalty. I am your queen. So understand that I've loved you before time even began, before Mother Nature spoke to the wind and the wind whispered to the leaves on the tree. I honor you. And with the obstacles we faced and worked our way through, they were just the twists and turns of our puzzle pieces we were learning to fit together while the universe was molding us to fit together. Dear future king, know that when you get here, your crown will fit perfectly. So bow down. This is your coronation, the time for celebration through elation. We celebrate you, wise beyond your years, yet open to continuously gain knowledge, a student of everything. Beyond all doubt, beyond all fear, you've proven yourself. Now step into your power and take your rightful place, my future king. Your kingdom awaits. That's that piece.
Unmute.
Why do you fear my greatness? There's something so heinous it defies being given a proper name. Even still, I gotta say my piece, even if merely to vent. This thing, when viewed in its totality, hate is its master. It follows hate with blind loyalty, openly, shamelessly, for the entire world to see. And you can best believe this thing was not heaven sent. But guess what? The world sees you for what you are, a parasite of Amric Ilse of sorts. And surely you proved yourselves as imps, rated among Satan's greatest cohorts. Deceptively, you embrace your intended victim and then viciously sink deep your fangs of demonic greed. As usurpers, you suck dry, decimate, defecate, defile, and destroy. Then like a swarm of locusts after your destruction, you're off to the next. And oh, the lies you tell and unbelievably actually believe. Obviously, you're possessed or you're hexed. You discover a land where you are benevolently embraced and loved, but all you saw was the land's wealth. So you massacre, biologically attempt to eradicate. You didn't see the love extended. You instinctively met love with hate. Once you realized you could not erase that strong indigenous race, you created reservations, and in America, slavery was born and accepted so quickly that it abominably became the norm. Your satanic studies showed you the error of your ways. So moving forward, your sole purpose and intent was to cut out the rest and just enslave. Eventually onto the motherland of Africa, you slithered. Astounded emasculated and shamed by the regal, civilized, glistening Nubian kings and queens you encountered, who to you seemed oblivious to the natural wealth of that land. True to your true nature, once again, your nature reared its ugly head, and millions of Nubians were soon to be dead. Dead to the generational wealth of wisdom and wealth of morals and wealth of the symbiotic lifeline to Mother Africa. You took Nubian kings and queens, God's original man, a race born from the dust of that same land from which God blessedly created Adam, the first human and Nubian man. And you dared to label them as property, chattel, even less than the family dog. You fed them from the scraps you wouldn't feed your pet, chicken feet and the guts, the ears and the feet and such of a hog. And we turned it into delicacies, and we mentally survived and physically thrived in slavery, as did you. When you stole your properties, medical wisdom, and inventions and patented them for yourselves, proving your arrogant and godless sense of superiority, ironically, was birthed by the theft of your chattel's intelligence. The brilliance of the Nubian race was and is the source of your ill-gained wealth. Your claim to relevance and fame comes from the greatness of those you have stuffed dry. If you could ever jackhammer and chisel the hatred that surrounds your heart, you would drop to your knees and pray God to allow you a do-over and afford you a brand new start. Nothing, it seems, is beyond the depths of degradation that you would go to feed off and breed off and need off the greatness of others. For me personally, the most prolific turbulence birthed from your existence is your hatred and your arrogance. Every sect, tribe, or race upon your initial contact, you were met with respect, doors open to share with you, to break bread with you. But your quote-unquote wisdom and wisdom are perfect examples of what is wise and unwise. Instead of learning how to fish during that time in your existence, growing and learning in humility and grateful with pride, your wisdom dictated you steal the fish, claim it as your own, caught by your very own hands. As with the generational symbiotic coexistence that died for so many victims of the hatred you injected and infected, like your discovery of this beautiful, inhabited, civilized land. Truth upon truth are there plainly for all to see. Some purposely disguised, but most are blatantly, convictingly, arrogantly, even proudly celebrated and taught. So arrogant, you expose your hypocrisy and unethical democracy, thinking you and you alone had the wisdom to perceive that in truth it was your master, Satan, who in the garden approached Eve. So long is your history filled with evidence of how you stole, plagiarized, and deceived. All I could say that would be of any merit or usefulness is I love you and I forgive you. Yet there is one question I must ask of you. Why do you fear my greatness? Poem.
I've been called by many names. Some people call me Lucifer. Some people call me Satan. Others, the devil. But you can call me whatever. But you ain't no better, and I'm going to prove it right here in this letter, because you lie like me, you accuse the heathen like me. Some of y'all kill, steal, and destroy, too. You walk around sinning on purpose like you ain't got no purpose. But me, I'm the opposite of Christ. I'm the opposite of all that's nice. When you do the opposite of right, clearly you do wrong. Every time you reject the Holy Spirit, it excites me. How I came into your heart? You, the one invited me. I'm the devil, that's right, the evil, the original rebel with a single purpose to wipe you off your surface and make your life miserable. Man, I don't operate in the physical, because too often with me you flirt. But I got a lot of y'all out here putting in work. Don't y'all know that I'm the king of dirt? I come to play with your mind like a toy, because I come to steal, kill, and destroy. Because, boy, I will whip you. On your way to heaven, I will do my best to try and trip you. I will flip you. I will treat you like a cold drink, boy, and I will tip you. I would do you like dirty clothes, and I will rip you. Now, keep on living like doing wrong is all right. This goes out to all you drug dealers and rim stealers, cheaters and wife beaters, haters and fornicators, crack cocaine users and alcoholic beverage abusers, lawbreakers, illegal substance takers, false teachers and phony preachers. I got a little message for you all. You can only do wrong for so long, because one of these days I'm going to get you. One of these days I'm going to hit you. One of these days I'm going to split you. All prayers fail when you're already in hell. Now, I see a lot of y'all getting mad, but keep it up. There's a lot of people out here that be, wait a minute. Oh, shoot, I done forgot my piece. Go ahead, somebody go ahead and go ahead and take over. Go ahead, I'll come back.
That was new shit from Brave Nate. Okay. They say my youngest will be the one who breaks my heart. Dear Street, you don't know how we beat. Nah, just nah. Maybe because back then I loved a dad through the glass. Black eyes swollen, I viewed the mask courtesy of white dudes, not men. It was hard on me, but it could only been more hard on him. But even harder on her, being that's the day I met Mom, proclaiming, I'm going to wait for him, which made her question me, my sensibility, my self-love, shit, my ability to make simple life decisions, because she was a queen. How could she envision me as anything or expect that I was ever going to be? Much less be what's best for him, her son. We met at visitation, and really, I wasn't shit at the time. I ain't even have money beyond a few dollars to put on his books, but y'all know how that kind of love looks. You'll give up your last damn dime. Swear up and down they did no crime. He's serving, but she doing the time. Blind, on cloud nine, living in an illusion of future relationship heaven. Be on page 27 of Jones letter number 667 in 2 years' time. But Mom, she was a black queen. I was smart, though I didn't speak it. At our first encounter, my soul was screaming. Black woman, folk want your rhythm, but not your blues. Your hue, as long as it's death they can choose. To preach, but not sit next to you in them pews. To place your sons behind bars for untruth. Assign court-appointed attorneys whose philanthropy is their five-year plan of defending the public to see their student loans reduced. They supposed to finance us. Instead, they see a son as a financer, avoiding paying their dues because they don't see value in rights they never had abused. They'll greet you at Last Supper, share cooking but refuse to offer salt to heal wounds like gentrification, discrimination, uniformed assassination. They'll take a bite and chew just so they can deny the taste of damn near annihilation. Our divine priority is to walk with Jesus, yet for 20, 40, maybe 80 years before then, we spend time creating an unfair race for other races. And fast forward 24 years since the day I met Mom. In a country with visible pipelines from schools to prison systems, like hard cash, fucking soft justice, no subliminals, yet all that seems minimal, because they out here killing black folk like they criminals. Melanin isn't arsenal. Pop, pop, this mouthpiece be, try to run me, my pen's not on E, I got 8 miles. Put you in park since you love remaining neutral, bust a you, my poems coming like trailers to your favorite films that you locked in, not letting you ease, budge, or breathe, trapped like white rice in a pressure cooker, aggression, until you recipe the cure for oppression. These poems will end when America's evil redundancy do, or when we let the steam out, a.k.a. the revolution, and it will not be social media eyes. Rest in peace, Tamir Rice. End poem.
One, just one. He was here in the beginning, but gave his life to wipe away the sinning. Ha. Holy Trinity, hard to believe, but they are just one. Ha. Chapter 1, verse 1. Ha. Look up John in the beginning. Ha. Yes, that one. Ha. Then go to John 1:14 and how he wrapped himself in flesh and became our king. Ha. That one, ha. The Holy One. Ha. If everyone was just one shade of one likeness, of one color, of one ethnicity, spoke one language, family, one sister, one brother, maybe then we could love one another just once. If given another chance, I'd go back to the future and tell Eve to leave that fruit up on the branch. If ask Adam, the one whom the law was, he was while his mate was out to lunch with the evil one chilling. Back in the present 2006, I was born again. Accepted Christ, my only friend. Given new life, reborn by the Son. Given another one, life. And I ain't wasting this one.
not for anyone. One mic, one stand in the mirror, one man, one lyric, one musical note, one irish, one image, for real, the poet. One God, one life, one blood, one spirit, one love, one sun, one voice, hear it, one chance. One body, one soul, one horn will blow. You better be right with yourself. He's coming back again. This, your one chance, my friend. With this, 7 billion people on earth, but just one heaven. One, just one. In peace.
I'm quicker to stick it in the habitual booger picker. Let me slow that down for you. I'm quicker to stick it in the habitual booger picker. Now you hold about as much water as wicker. Body get heavy, the eyes that much more stiffer. There's another head, a dog that ripped you. As I tell you out another scripture. See, I'm a Picasso with those lyrical pictures. A real Einstein with those Sims and mixtures. I illuminate poetic passages like candlelit fixtures. Stick you. Laugh as I stick you. Ha ha ha, stick you. Flipping you a lyrical Mickey. Sticky, you motherfucker. I'm out and stuff you. Won't bluff you. Don't run because the grandson's got a gun and he ain't chasing. He better sit back and cha-cha at ya like I'm Jason. And your bitch's bush is waiting. Penetrating. Nah, she even hating. I got her talking about canceling your station. Dad at your head, you like, baby, why is you playing? Give me that shit, because I ain't got the patience for dirty bums and derelicts. But my silence of quiet squires and even hushy ear hut. I leave bodies leaking, seeping, reeking in the hot trunk over the 4th of July weekend. Last of the Mohicans. I'm at the precipice still peeking. So don't be sleeping, we be out here sneaking. Oh. All right, everybody, let's get these mics open.
Yo.
That was nice.
That was a fire speed round.
That was
nice.
My goodness. Get the Reese cup down after that.
Quincy, you done bought for real out of the woodwork. He ain't spit in a minute.
That's funny.
That part.
That was dope, too. And then, freaking, did
you just do,
like, DJ
screwing your
point
yesterday?
Like, what? Yeah. Oh, my God. There's some DJ
screwing
there. I was like, yes.
I heard him first. I was like, wait a minute. That person sounds familiar. That's for real. Oh, yes.
That's funny.
Hell, yeah. Stuck over here at the last minute, bro.
Hey,
yes.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, what's up,
y'all?
Y'all know Gwen gets me all hype and everything right there.
Hey,
what you do to get Gwen C up in here, man? I've been trying to get her up in there for a millennium, man.
Man, I hit her with it real quick. She had said, y'all going to do a pop-up? I said, you going to ride a shotgun? And then she went ahead and typed yes.
Oh, get out of here. Oh, my God.
No.
That's all you got to do?
No, my brain said hell no.
No, that one ain't going to never work again because she's wary to that.
You owe me big time now, Gwen. You owe me big time now. You owe me big
for
time.
For real, you just be looking for that certified mail, okay, because you're going to get some certified mail over at Epiphany because he twisted my arm and I got to sue y'all.
Ooh,
yeah. I stepped down.
Yeah,
I'm retired. Really? You have to send that to Van.
Right? HR. Dan's not here. Send him the bill.
Yeah. What's up, Danielle? Hey, Paul.
Hey. What's up, boss?
It's good to hear y'all. I had to jump into the broom closet real quick, man. I miss y'all. Miss y'all, man.
We miss you too.
Hey, man, that
we ain't heard you in a millennia.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm trying to make my way back there, man. I love nights like this when you just, do a pop-up.
The door is open. All you got to do is walk through. That's it.
I don't know. Oh,
speak and ye shall mind.
I'll be back there soon.
Okay.
I'll be back there soon.
We waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Just be ready to pick your pen up.
Oh, I
heard that. He threatened people with a good time.
Okay.
We're going to let 518 up in here.
Is that Javi?
It is.
Oh, get out of here.
Hey, what's up, Javi? Oh, shit.
What's going on?
Hey, Javi.
How you doing, brother?
Hey. Who's breathing all heavy like that?
I'm not breathing heavy. What are you talking about? That's not me.
I think that's Paul. What's up, Javi?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Boss man.
You got to control your mute, Paul, or I'm going to have to mute you down, brother.
Because Paul breathing like an old ass yelling.
What?
Yo, he got old underwear on. He got old underwear on.
You know what? I'm ready to go for that.
Yeah. I need to do a porn.
What'd you say?
I think I'm doing porn now.
Yeah, it sounds better now.
Okay. I have no idea what's going on.
I think just
J-mute
everybody. Just J-mute everybody. Put Javi on the mic.
Oh, but I can't.
Or
I can't because Gwen summoned me. She summoned me.
You know it.
Well, she summoned you.
I've been on here for one hour and think I'm a boss.
You can hear. It's actually been about an hour and 50 minutes.
What to do. That's some shit I would do, though, be around for about an hour and a half and then start bossing people around. That's really who I am.
That's all right. That
sounds like
you'll fit right here.
That sounds like you, Gwen.
It is so me. But I was serious.
Javi, since she summoned you, give us some of you.
Oh.
That was a lot of right here,
you.
Yeah.
Stop here. I just pulled up. I just took my socks off. Let me stop.
Hey, baby.
Hey, hold on a minute. I tell you what, since we got done with the speed round, I'm about to play a track, Space and Identification. When we come back, Javi, it's going to be on you, man.
Oh, wow.
Hey, how you doing?
How you holding up, partner?
Is he talking about me?
No, I was asking Gwen, see how she holding up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm about to go ahead and get these mics. Oh, crap. Mojave, that was you. I just muted. I'm about to mute these mics, and we're about to get into station identification, people. Appreciate y'all for rocking with us up to this point. Go ahead and get it in.
Bridgemont Road, 64, 14th Bridgemont Road. It was a quaint little corner I used to roam to and fro. See, Mama used to flare her hands with a Jedi stance and blow. She was like a storm. Thunder would flash when her tongue would go, so I ran as fast as my little feet could go. And I would run. So many sounds would touch me as I traveled to and fro. Scents would hug my hips and douse me with dreary, since I would be so hungry. Hungry for many things. Enticed by the dance that would occur between Sylvia and Ronald on Wicker Street. They would barely speak, just run hands down the thigh meat, place their wings on each other like angels. They were so immaculate with their sincerity. Her deep chocolate would wrap around his tall, toffee physique. I was enamored by their dance. So delicate and divine with her feet, so sturdy and muscular his hide. And they would collide on the withering side of Wicker Street. To and fro, My tender feet would graze the concrete, and I would pass by the Boricuas, or as they would say, Boricuas. Tatiana and Abel with the fleet. The Rodriguez family on Staten Road, they had their own rhythm. Their song was laughter and colloquial banter, slapping dominoes on mahogany. They wore with warmth on their tongues their colorful seeds, growing cilantro and rosy-cheeked babies. And I would peek my head, coiled to perfection, seeking their elder son, Gabriel. Gabriel, who won my little fragile heart. It would morph into butterflies when he would smile, teeth so bright it reflected starlight. His dimples emerged like craters on the moon, his sweat from roughhousing was like perfume. And a year sometime, maybe during the month of June, when summer's plumes were steady to bloom, he kissed me like pollen to bees. He kissed me like soil to earth. He kissed me like sap to trees, and we were one. And we were the cool to breathe. I miss him. Loud as the sound of thunder striking oak, their music on Staten was no joke. To and fro, my little feet turned demure. My toothless smile matured, and instead of dodging mama's chatter, I walk with depth in my stride, and education was my motivation, and I wore it dang near with pride. See, I left 6414 Bridgemont Road, yet its smell, sound, sashay, jive, simmer sweet, sentimental cheat never, ever left me. I can still hear its rhythm. Can you?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Epiphany Radio Station. We got a pop-up on y'all. I got my co-host in tow with me, Gwen C. here. This right here has been a historical occasion. My bad, I had muted your mic. I was hearing some residual noise, so I apologize about that, sis.
No worries. I was just saying,
hold on, y'all got 10 seconds to call in. If y'all listening online, y'all got about 7 seconds, 6 seconds, maybe even 5 right about now. Yeah, I suggest y'all be calling in if y'all can go ahead and slide up under there. Up, oh, it says 09. Ain't nothing left but the crying. All right. Go ahead and see, how you holding up? Is this to your liking? Is this, like, too much sensory overload? Is this too draggy and slow? What's going on with you, man?
Yes, this is sensory overload. Jeez, not playing. I'm good. I'm good. My arm is still sore. I'm good.
Your arm's still sore? What are you over there doing?
You twisted it.
Oh, yeah, from that. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, for real, we're going to stick with that one.
I just wanted some poetry, and then, you know, I'm like, well, that's kind of like an ultimatum. So I guess
well,
I got
to
do it.
You have to read the poetry sometime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Need a poem. And then like, you got this huge following and fan base, and they don't, like, get a chance to see that a lot of times you be in a room while they be spitting. They don't be none the wiser, but we see you here quite often at Epiphany. So we appreciate you, lady. We really do.
Thank
this
you.
Right here is
huge. I appreciate y'all. You know I appreciate y'all. I love coming into y'all's space and just listening and just being, like, in y'all's audience and sharing one poem. So, yeah, this was great. And, yeah, this is sensory overload. Yeah, woohoo.
I hope you got the bug, but I ain't going to say nothing else about that. We're going to go ahead and get Sir Mojave back off in here. Senior Emmy.
Yes. Yes, sir.
How you doing, bro?
I'm about to, after I do this with y'all, I got to get back to first and I have a big order, and then I have to transport it. I have to transport it to a different part of the state. So, you know, but...
I don't think you should be saying that on here.
Walmart ran out of them last night. You got to get them back out there. So what's the problem?
Ah, he wilding. But I mean, with anything else, you know, you got a bunch of things, a bunch of responsibilities, you know. Although Gwen just kept me, she's like, woo. I was like, it's whose are we? we haven't fun yet.
Right.
And so I just want to know, all right, for years and years and years, I was telling Gwen, I was like, yo, Gwen, come on over to Epiphany. Come on. Right? Make all these appearances. Come on. So today's the day you decide to come on? This is what happens?
If it hadn't been a pop-up, I don't think she'd have did it.
No. Yeah.
You're talking years. I was like, yo, come on. It's got to be good for you.
You really did.
I was trying to, you know, apparently I wasn't into the arm twisting, so I guess that's, you know, the thing, you know.
I know, like, I've always been a sucker for some abuse.
Listen.
Stop bringing attention to that, Mojave.
I'm just saying.
Vans don't, you know, get the bill. It's all good. I know when it's in the bill.
I'm just saying. You know, Gwen's one of my favorite poets. I shouted out today. He's a tag of poet. I was like, Gwency. Hit her up.
Thank you.
Ask it. You know, I was going to put a Small House of Poetry, but everybody kept posting y'all. So I was like, why am I going to be like everybody else? And then all my tags were like getting messed up. Nah, I'm just saying. Like, all my tags were getting messed
TMI.
Up. I tagged everybody in the drip. I was tagging people, and it was just wasn't tagging for some strange reason. But then I figured out the reason why it wasn't working was because my internet was out, and I didn't know it. So it wasn't doing all the stuff I needed to do, and I was on LTE, and it was all some bullshit. LTE is some bullshit. That's all it was. Like. It's just bullshit. You need 5G.
Hey, ma'am, what is it like to be a clothing designer, sir?
The wonderful part is when you see people wearing your stuff in situations where you want them to wear it, like open mics and stuff like that, makes wonders for you. What sucks is that sometimes that you have to get things done that you don't want to get done. But, you know, like tonight, I got to get some stuff done, but I'm used to burning midnight oil. And I just got to do the hustle because I know where I'm at.
Do you handle deadlines well?
Yeah. pretty much. I think I'm pretty decent about it. I mean, the only thing is like when I have to do like super custom shit. Super custom stuff takes longer times, and I think people expect it to come out at the same time as like regular stuff. And I'm like, no, that doesn't happen. This is going to take you this amount of time. But once they get it, then and then, you know, so then I like seeing stuff in situations and stuff like that. But I know exactly where I'm at. So, you know, I just made a bid to like I keep reinvesting in myself. And so, and every time I reinvest in myself, it pushes me a little bit further, which inspires me more, which does everything else. And then I know there's certain people from my hometown that are trying to do the same things. And it's funny because it's like they're kind of like following me. One of them is on my page all the time. And then I just realized that, like, he has his own design, but he doesn't, like, he hasn't figured out to put everything into what he's doing. Like, he hasn't figured it out. He's just happy to have certain people wearing his stuff. He's not reinvesting himself. And then he had asked me questions, and I've known him for a very, very long time. Like, since he was 10, I've known him that long. And so he's, like, expecting me to help him out. And I'm like, nah, I can't help you out the way that you want me to help you out. I said, the world is big and everything else. I said, there are certain things you're just going to have to do yourself. And I was like, just like there's certain things that certain people won't tell me because I had to go earn the knowledge, you got to earn yours. And so
there's a certain wisdom in discovery also, because you're having to bump your head, and then all of a sudden you see this door open up. Like, how come I couldn't see this before? And finding that is better than somebody giving that to you.
This is very true. I think failure is the best thing on the face of the planet for people. If you ever want to get stronger, fail at something. You want to do better?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, you fuck something up. Fuck up something for somebody and see how much it costs you to replace it. See how you feel about it. It's going to teach you better. You know, somebody recently made me change like 3 sweaters. And I was like, I already made these. It's like, they was like, that's not the right color. That's not what I asked you for. And I couldn't complain. I just had to get it done. You know, it kind of put me like behind schedule a little bit, but you know, it got done. And it was like funny because it was like a little misunderstanding, but you know, these are the things that come with it. You just got to deal. And then, but the other side of that is when people are satisfied and you can see people, like people are ordering stuff for their whole family. I can't be mad at that, you know? So
no.
You got to get
Hell
it right.
No.
You got to get it right.
Hey man, I've been watching from afar everything that you've been doing, man. You are setting a trend. The stuff that you are doing is original. The stuff that you are doing is actually good stuff, man. You know, sometimes you see some stuff and you'd be like, you know, it fits for them. But the stuff that you're doing, man, is like has a universal appeal to it. With that being said, brother, our good sister Gwen C, he's going to go ahead and hand you the mic. And I'm about to slide and glide.
The bumpy slide? Oh, man. You're just going to put the onus on me, huh?
All right.
This is what I'm working on. I'm working on a few things. Oh, and I love the track by Fabi. That's one of my favorite things. I just wanted to tell you that.
That is dope, ain't it?
Yeah, super dope. But you know, Fabi's a monster. She. I don't think she knows how much of a monster she is. But she's going to be jumping up, scaring people and fighting people real soon, just Godzilla-like. So for my birthday, I decided that I was going to do a couple of things because I'm usually doing stuff for everybody else. And I'm in the background, but I'm going to jump out front real quick, and I'm going to do this mixtape. So I did a tester room the other day. I don't know if people saw it, but this is one of the things that's going to get changed up and smoothed out and all kinds of stuff in the production. But, you know, I always start out a particular way. So this is it. Is something just too loud? Yes.
The mic is yours.
Hello? Thank you. You were always good at giving things away. Advice, food to the needy, my clothes, your attention, your body. Anything that you thought had no value to me. I remember when I could count the moles on your back like constellations that I named after positions that brought me to heaven. and it seems so easy for you to forget me, to fall in love with ghosts, phantoms of fantasy, of love that would never be. But imagination is sexy. And pretending that they would love you, be there for you, be real to you, give as good as they got, make you feel like a woman, hot, as you once told me, were all lies. And you give it away. Time, attention, money, effort, the pearl between your legs, and still left you lonely, left you broke, left you side piece with men as wispy as weed smoke. And if you gave over into make-believe, then you could take a toke to a love that they never spoke, just enough lie to get a poke. And you gave, and you gave. And don't you know that mofos only want you when you belong to someone else, when you are the light of someone else's world? It is a power trip to say that I'm fucking so-and-so's girl. And I just want to ask him how my stick tastes and where and how many times I gave it to her in her face. And you just kissing her, you missing her, be crying and texting her to come home, and I be straight dissing her. And she cannot get enough, giving it away. And then they break you, tell you that the game is through, find some new booty or tighter coochie that is not moving so loosely. And why would they want another man's wife when they done prodded and poked and gave that snappy dugout trife? Such is the life of giving away, placing more value on the surface than a deeper display, because it means nothing. And I cannot give you what you don't need, what you won't want, what you refuse to be, for any love ever given from me is temporary. Because you're searching for something, a someone, a feeling, an emotion, in empty cups, jars, arms, and sex of men who never see you more than a hole, only the hole that is warm and wet, bed, they forget, and you still haven't figured this out yet. You still haven't figured this out yet. But these are your days, and you spend it giving it away.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the piece.
Wow.
What do you think it is right here, Gwen?
I loved it. I was not expecting this poem, this topic, any of it. I wasn't expecting it. I mean, left you side pieced. Mm-hmm. And only when you belong to someone else. That is so true. And I just wasn't expecting this poem. I love that piece, Mojave.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bro, oh, this nice. Piece hit me right in the gut. It had me thinking about all those different times and those situations, those scenarios of trying to talk to somebody. And the everything else has the ear. You was trying to jewel this young lady too, man. I was seeing that.
Well, I'm just gonna say it's based on a true story. It's based on a true story.
The movements of it say a true story, man. What was she looking for, bro?
Well, you know, just to be completely transparent. During the course of time, there's a few things that were happening that I didn't understand. And so, and not give over to libel or slander, so I just tell truth because it's easier. She made a decision to date someone who was in a gang that was many years younger than her. And then that same person, like their mother, got them into popping pills. And then when they lost everything, they just was just on something else, and it was like they just had a habit of whatever it was that belonged to me, they would just give it away. And it was just something that they did. You know, there was no apology, there was nothing for it, you know. And so, you know, I had a sweater that I liked. Like, a lot of times when I dream about something or I want something, it becomes manifestation or something. Kind of like, you know, I just do that. That's just something I do. I don't get into all the metaphysical conversation. I'll just be like, this is something I do, right? So I saw a magazine, I saw a sweater, I knew somebody, I waited the sweater out, it was my favorite sweater, and she just gave it away. And she would just give stuff away all the time, just wouldn't ask me about it, she would just give it away. Just, you know, oh, he's not going to mind. He'd just give it away. you know, and there was never anything about it. And so in the giving away, you know, there was a time when my son was going to go to her alma mater. And so we knew everybody over there. Like, I literally knew everybody over there. And they're like, yo, if he wants to come here, he can come here. And she decided at that time that was more important for her to go to her house and sleep with somebody who was a married man who was waiting at the house for her. And my son was very upset with me. He was very upset with her when he told me. And it was like crazy because she was just in a situation. I'm like, so you just throw everything out the window for anything, for any type of attention, for any type of anything that happens. This is what you're just going to do. And that's just where she was at that time. She was just throwing stuff out the window, baby out with the bathwater, all this other stuff that was happening. Everything was crazy. And it was like, you know, to live through that portion of time was like crazy because it did so much damage to, like, my daughter more than my son, because my son came to live with me. So it was like he was more normalized. He had fatherhood by committee, so he had all my brothers and my father and everybody else. He had a lot of support, and he even moved out of his house. You know, he moved out of the house with his mother. And, you know, it's just different. And so I was always trying to figure out, like, you know, like when I started to really figure things out, because people would come and bring me information, but I don't give over myself to Ruba. You know, I believe none of what I see and half of what I hear. So the problem was is that she would go out and just be this person, and whatever she would get hurt, she would come right back to me, and I wouldn't refuse her. I'd mess up everything that I was doing. If I was flying my plane or sailing my ship in the best way possible, I'd set anchor and let her get on board. Mm-hmm. And it'd just be this repeating cycle over and over again, over and over again, and it would always be the same, it would be the same way each and every time. And so I really didn't give up. And the funny thing is, like, the more she did it, the more she got to isolate me. And the more isolated I became and separate from people, you know, even to the point that she would just go and tell people just massively stupid lies that weren't true about me, you know, and make people hear. And she's like, I don't like the way people see you. She's like, I lied to those. That's right, I lied to those people. I don't like the way they see you. I don't like the way they talk about you in a good way. You know, it's not funny to me now, but that's, you know, so that poem was like the crux of a lot of stuff that happened. Like, and I'm sitting here like, because it was like crazy, because it was like, one of the main incidents that killed me was like, so you've seen this dude, right? Like, literally, right? And I hate talking about all this stuff because people are like, I can't believe that happened to you. Like, it happened, you know, much stronger person now, fail at something, you get stronger, it's nice. Anyway,
right.
right, so. I worked at a school, right? So she would see me on the street and drive by me like she didn't know me, and that was her husband, right? So she would just do it. She would do it all the time, right? So then she decided to see this dude who owned a pawn shop, and he was married, and he kept a mistress upstairs from the pawn shop. Everybody knew that. And she was just seeing this dude. And so this dude, like, did horrible things, like, not horrible things, but, you know, just things that you've done.
Bad enough.
And yeah. And so the guy who worked in the store with her, like, worked in the store with him, like, he basically sent a message to someone. He sent a message to two people, and both of those people came to find me. And he was like, I don't know if you know, you know, I don't know if you know, you know, but I think it's wrong as hell. I see what you're doing. He's like, I see how you're trying to do things. He's like, she comes in here and talks about you like you're the worst thing on two legs. And it was like, and everybody can see you. He's like, everybody sees you and what you do. It was like, they know you work at the school. They know you do all this stuff in the work. They know that you work in the community. They know how you are with your kids. And she's in here talking bad about you all the time. And he's like, he couldn't let it rock. And then he basically provided information to me that I basically was like, all right, that's it. I was like, you know, because you're not going to put my life in jeopardy, one. You're not going to do the stuff that you've been doing. And then every time you come around, it's like I have to give everything up. And I get isolated, and all these bad things happen to me because I'm trying to love you. you know, and all you're doing is giving it away to everybody else, but you can't give the love. That same love wasn't being given to me nor your children. You're just selfish, but yeah, so. And
you
also,
know, sometimes people don't be in a position to go ahead and reciprocate like that, man. It just be, like you said, she was who she was, how she was. It's just tough, man. When you were reading the poem and I was hearing you talk about the situations and the scenarios, and I was like, oh, man, that's tearing your chest out right there. Forget the heart. It's taking the sternum, everything. The lungs,
yeah.
The backbone, the whole nine from the front.
But you know what's the best part of the story? You know, the best part of the story? You win in the end. I won. Right? And everything that happened, happened for a reason. You know, and I'm very happy. The crazy thing about it, every now and again, she just feels the need to hop in my inbox and talk crazy. And I'm like, no more, right? Which is even worse because she married the dude that used to be her client. Because she did counseling. She was a drug counseling. So she married a client. Married a client. But that's a whole other story. And so the funny
you got
thing
the last
is, like,
laugh. Hey, man, I can't wait to hear this poem right there.
Yo, the best revenge is living well, man. I got a son that's a doctor. I got a daughter graduating, getting ready to become an accountant. Like, bro, you sacrifice to get where you need to go. It's not always about you. You know?
Yes, sir. What do you have going on in the Epiphany Universe, sir?
Well, you know, we got the very boss war council coming up on Tuesday, and we've got tons and tons and tons to talk about. Like, we got, like 10 different topics, but I got a new format. So, you know, we talk about certain topics. You know, we got our FOH figure, you know, get the fuck out of here. Like, whatever we feel is utterly ridiculous in the news, we talk about that. We throw that in there.
I'm be ready for that one next time, too, bro.
Listen, they've been throwing bombs in the war council chat. It's a little crazy. It's like, you know when everybody's got things, yeah, this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm like, God damn, this is going to be some good shit. So if you're down for good conversation, good terse debate, talk about certain things with really good people that really have good conversation, come through the war council. You know, we discuss and dialogue around the things that hit the public sphere and public information and things that are happening. You know, and always prepared. You know, we got a Reddit segment where we pull stuff from Reddit. It's good stuff. So, you know, we rocking the formats, and they can only be found here on the 50 Radio Universe, the For Real Entertainment Network. We encourage you to take your socks off. A baby, baby. All right. I'm not for real, but I tried.
Hey, I thought I had queued up the snippet again.
That's what it is. But we try, man. We try. This is all we did. But, you know, all that aside, man, I am very happy to see Gwen C on a Epiphany Ray Universe. This is always a good thing. But I am going to land my plane and get the heck out of Dodge because I got to start pressing. Like, as soon as I finish this cut, I start pressing. And then I got to pack all this stuff up and roll it to the car. Get in the car, man.
Hey, man. You're out here doing some FUBU, man. That's what I'm talking about. For us, by us.
Yo, honest to goodness. Like, what inspires me, one of the most inspiring things is reading Damon John's book about FUBU. And it taught me to let me know exactly where I'm at. I know exactly where I'm at right now, which is because of that book. Like how he felt unsure and how he had to keep, you know, reinvesting in himself. Like, you know, he used to be a big thick dude, you know, with curly hair and all that crazy stuff. Worked as a server at Red Lobster. And when he started selling, like, hats, he started out selling hats. And then he started doing the stuff, starting in his house, getting the materials, you know, and all this other stuff. And he just grew it from there, even to the point that when he went to his meeting, they told him, they said, oh, you got 5 years to make $5 million. And they made it in the first quarter, you know, and he knew he was on his way. And then he's been able to learn everything and diversify himself. So he ended up on, you know, Shark Tank. You know, he's a consummate entrepreneur, and he still is running and working and banging out. So I'm inspired, you know.
Yeah,
you're
good.
Plus, you know, you're on the
side, huh? So you're in good company, brother. Well, bro, I'm about to go ahead and slide you to the side so I can go ahead and get in because I got about 5 hours I can go ahead and get for tonight. But appreciate you for stopping through, Mojave.
Well, thank you. But I was something I came through because it's good people over here. You know, Tiffany is a family. It's all about the love. And I'm glad that Gwen came in, even on a pop-up. Because she
was
fantastic. And amazing. Listen, you're an amazing poet. And I'm going to keep telling you that each and every time. I'm going to get you to a meetup, though. I got to do it at least one time. You know, get you over
I know.
Here, get you on
I'm
stage.
Coming. I'm coming to one. I really am.
All right.
I just don't know which one.
Listen. July 25th through the 28th, Raleigh, North Carolina. Put it in your calendar now. You got nothing. I know you started a new job, but you should have some time by then.
Man, I already took vacation, okay? I had a vacation last week, and I just started on January 30th. But no, you're right. It's just, okay. Is it a Friday through Sunday?
That's it, yes. Yes, it is.
Is it erotic?
It's everything.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Why you keep acting like you don't write erotic poems? I don't understand. I heard your erotic poems.
I know.
It's a serious erotic poem. I don't understand what you're talking about. Like you ain't got all these diversified pens that you could throw in here and appear. Like, that's kind of wild.
We can't antagonize the co-hosts now, Mojave. You know we can't do all that.
But
Jay got to
go sleep. You
got to
get up.
And Jay got to go sleep. Mojave, I'm about to retire. You want a coffee couch, my brother.
I'm going to just hop on.
Chase for the days.
Thank y'all. Love y'all. Take care. I'll see y'all soon. Peace.
Love you, Javi.
Take care, brother. See you in the street.
Bye.
One love, one light.
All right, Gwen. See, it was just as simple as that. It went a little bit over 2 hours, and which we said that wasn't going to happen, but that's what ended up happening. You're not known for the best for the wear or the weary, are you?
No, I'm so glad you slipped in my arm. See,
yeah,
I told you
man,
I could
do.
Fight. I told you I could fight. The next time I roll to the 409, I'm going to stop in Arkansas and we're going to fight.
All right, man. That sounds like a good idea.
I appreciate you doing the pop-up.
Yeah, man. This is your first, apparently, I thought you had been on Epiphany more times than this, but this is the first time you've been through this way. So it was good having you come through here, man. Really good.
You brought out a lot of family members. Yeah, thank you.
The last time
it was a slam, that's why. It was a poetry slam during the pandemic we did on here.
Oh, all right.
But this is the first time doing this, so I'm glad. And I'm glad that you said, come on through and we're going to do it. So thank you.
No doubt. You've been supporting us from day one. Like I was telling everybody, a lot of times they don't get a chance to see that you're sitting down in a spot just going ahead and chilling and taking in the shows over here at Epiphany. And for you to go ahead and grab the mic, period, is an honor. And then for you to come in here and do this, this right here was off the hook. You brought the family in.
Thank you. Thank you for making this space.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we're about to go ahead and shut her down. Hey, Paul, appreciate you for coming out, sir. La Perla Negra, appreciate you for coming on out. Gwen C, appreciate you for coming out, too.
Thank you.
Y'all take care now. This is Just Jay signing off from Arkansas. Y'all be easy now.